sự quen stress là người mà thay thế ông để làm cái nhiệm vụ đó. Cách đây 3-4 tuần thì ông có gọi điện thoại tôi và nói chuyện ông sẽ xuống đây để gặp hội thánh, rồi sẽ họp với ban chấp hành giáo sự để chúng ta ngồi lại để đã thông những cái việc mà trong muốn giải quyết tất cả những cái việc mà mình đã ký giấy tờ với lại ban với lại giáo hội Việt Nam cũng như tổng hội. Hôm qua tôi đã ngồi với ông 4 tiếng đồng hồ. Cảm ơn Chúa. Sáng nay ông sẽ giảng cho hội thánh cũng như sẽ họp với ban chấp hành chấp sự. Ông là mục sư từ Canada. Ông đã là hiệu trưởng trường thần học ở Canada, là district superintendent, là giáo học trưởng ở bên Canada. Rồi sau đó ông qua bên Mỹ thì ông đã là district giáo học trưởng cho 3 term cho cái giáo học South Eastern Pennsylvania và một cái term của Mid America District at Andrew for a year. Bây giờ thì là ông có lẽ là ông retire, nhưng mà ông đang làm ở trong tổng hội về vấn đề nó kêu là health cho các hội thánh, tức là những hội thánh nào có những sự khó khăn thì ông đến để ông giúp đỡ. Và ông Mary có 2 đứa con và 2 đứa cháu nội. Ông đã tốt nghiệp trường thần học doctor của Lyon, tức là Christian National Lyon at New York. Có lẽ đó là cái trường mà mục sư của mình cũng đang học chương trình của ông. Sáng nay tôi muốn giới thiệu ông với hội thánh để hội thánh biết. Welcome Pastor and Dr. Wayne Street.
Thank you. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Xin kính chào quý vị.
It is a tremendous privilege for me to be with you this morning.
Tôi rất là vui mừng vì đến được với quý vị.
I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Tôi xin chào mừng quý vị trong danh Chúa Giêsu.
From the Vice President of the Christian Missionary Alliance, Reverend Dan Wetzel.
Cũng như lời chào mừng của mục sư phó hội trưởng Dan Wetzel.
Reverend Wetzel has appointed me to be the conciliation specialist to work with you in the months ahead.
Và mục sư Dan Wetzel, phó hội trưởng đã chỉ định tôi là cái người sẽ lo trong vấn đề chuyển tiếp của quý vị trong thời gian sắp tới đây.
So this is the first of what will be a number of visits that I'll have with you.
Cho nên đây là lần đầu tiên, nhưng mà cũng không phải là lần cuối cùng, tôi sẽ tới thăm viếng quý vị.
So I look forward to getting to know you better and to having many conversations with you.
Cho nên tôi sẽ hy vọng là sẽ gặp được quý vị rất nhiều và có thể trò chuyện với quý vị thêm nữa.
This morning we turn our attention to the Word of God.
Sáng nay chúng ta sẽ thờ phượng Chúa bằng lời của Ngài.
The world despises small things.
Thế gian thì rất là không có ưa thích những cái gì nhỏ.
The world is more interested in the big and the bold and the beautiful.
Và thế gian thì luôn luôn ưu chuộng những cái điều mà to lớn, đẹp đẽ, hấp dẫn.
The living God teaches us not to despise the day of small things.
Nhưng mà Chúa dạy cho mình là đừng có coi thường những vấn đề nhỏ, những việc nhỏ.
I come from a city in Canada that is 40 miles from a large, large city.
Tôi sinh ra và lớn lên ở một cái thành phố rất là nhỏ, cách một cái thành phố lớn ở Canada 40 dặm.
Living in the shadow of this large city, we always felt inferior.
Vì ở gần một cái thành phố lớn như vậy, cái thành phố nhỏ chúng tôi cảm thấy rất là thua thiệt với họ.
If you said you were from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, you had to get up earlier in the morning and go to bed later at night.
Cho nên họ Hòa thượng nói là phải thức dậy thật sớm và đi ngủ thật trễ thì mới theo kịp với lại cái thành phố lớn đó.
I want to ask you a question this morning.
Cho nên tôi có câu hỏi như thế này với quý vị.
Have you ever felt inferior?
Quý vị có bao giờ cảm thấy như là thua thiệt hơn người khác?
Have you ever felt insignificant?
Hoặc là cảm thấy mình chẳng có giá trị hết.
Have you ever felt small?
Hay thấy mình quá nhỏ nhoi, nhỏ bé quá.
Maybe it's your status in life.
Trong cái chức phận mình trong xã hội.
Your family background.
Hoặc là trong cái quá khứ của gia đình mình.
Your lack of education.
Hoặc là mình đã không có đầy đủ học vấn.
Whatever it is, at some level, we all feel inferior to someone else. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the smallest of all of the clans of Judah. He came from Nazareth, of which it was said, no good thing came from Nazareth. The Christian Missionary Alliance began in New York City with 7 or 8 people gathered around a stove. This was a beginning of nothing.
Đó là cái bắt đầu của không có gì hết.
And yet from that beginning today, there are over 20,000 Christian Missionary Alliance churches around the world.
Nhưng mà bây giờ thì là giáo hội, tổng liên hội bây giờ có hơn 20,000 hội thánh trên khắp thế giới.
In Vietnam, as you know,
cũng như ở Việt Nam chúng ta,
to be Protestant is to belong to the Tin Lan Church.
Thường thì nếu mà là Tin Lành thì là của Tin Lành Phúc Âm Liên Hiệp.
The CMA-related church now has over 1 million believers.
Có hơn cả triệu người tin nhận Chúa.
And so Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Giống như trong Zechariah đoạn 4 câu 6 Chúa có phán là chẳng phải quyền thế hay năng lực nhưng mà bởi thần của Đức Chúa Trời.
I want to thank you for partnering with the Christian and Missionary Alliance because God is at work.
Tôi rất là cảm ơn quý vị vì chúng ta đều trong một cái gia đình của Phúc Âm Liên Hiệp và Chúa đang làm việc trên chúng ta.
When you give through the Great Commission Fund of the Christian Missionary Alliance,
khi chúng ta đến cái hội đồng của tổng liên hội,
you are allowing Alliance missionaries to go to lost and unreached people.
Thì khi mà chúng ta tham gia vào cái chương trình truyền giáo của Phúc Âm Liên Hiệp thì chúng ta cho Phúc Âm Liên Hiệp có cơ hội đến với những cái nơi mà lời Chúa không đến được.
So it was in 1911 that the first Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries went to Vietnam.
Cho nên quý vị nhớ rằng vào năm 1911 thì giáo sĩ của Hội Phúc Âm Liên Hiệp đã đến Việt Nam.
Today we are sending those Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries, not the same ones, but we're sending Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries to places like the country of Tunisia.
Cho nên bây giờ, hiện tại bây giờ, Phúc Âm Hiệp gửi những nhiều giáo sĩ đi tới những nơi mà chẳng hạn như là ở nước Tunisia.
In Tunisia, it is illegal to be a Christian.
Tại vì đây là một xứ Hồi giáo, cho nên ở tiếng Tây gọi là Tunis. Ai mà tin Chúa là bị cấm.
You can be executed for being a follower of Jesus in Tunisia.
Nếu mà bị khám phá là người tin Chúa thì sẽ bị xử tử.
We believe there are less than 300 known believers in the whole country.
Và chúng tôi biết rằng có khoảng chừng trên dưới 300 người thôi tin Chúa ở cái thủ quốc gia này.
But because you pray.
Nhưng vì chúng ta cầu nguyện cho công việc Chúa.
Because you faithfully give.
Và chúng ta dâng hiến cho công việc truyền giáo.
We have through the Christian Missionary Alliance 2 teams on the ground in Tunisia sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Vì thế mà tổng hội đã gửi đến 2 toán ở quốc gia này để truyền giáo.
They may feel small.
Thật sự nhỏ.
They may feel insignificant.
Và họ cảm thấy giống như không có gì quan trọng hết.
The odds may seem overwhelmingly against them.
Và họ đã gặp rất là nhiều khó khăn thử thách cho công việc của họ.
But with God all things are possible.
Nhưng mà đối với Chúa thì tất cả mọi việc có thể làm được.
And as the seed began small in Vietnam, as the seed was small when it began in Vietnam,
okay. Khi mà lời Chúa được gieo ở xứ mình thì rất là nhỏ.
Today it has grown into over a million believers, as I said. My friends, the story of God always begins with insignificance. But in the end, it will result in every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I ask you this morning, how does it work? You see, with God, your little is always enough. And rather than trusting in what we have, we trust in the living God. And the truth is, there are needs that we have in our church, in our families, and in our community. The needs in our communities are often great. Poverty and unemployment and skills and spiritual needs. And to all of that, we add the natural disasters, such as what has happened in Louisiana just this past week. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we have a story of how God meets your needs. And the truth is, my brothers and sisters, God allows us to have needs. Having needs is not a bad thing, it is a God thing. Do you remember what God had against the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3? They didn't think they had need of anything. Oh, friends, God wants you and I to depend upon Him. And so He allows needs to come into our lives. The Apostle Paul says these words, "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Think of this morning, friends. If we don't have any needs, God can't meet them. Needs in our lives are not a bad thing, they are a God thing. So come with me to 2 Kings chapter 4 for a moment. The widow was desperate. Her husband was dead. His creditor was on his way to take her two sons as slaves to pay for his debts. And this dear lady had no means of preventing this from happening. Have you ever been in that kind of place? Where you felt desperate? During my last pastorate, I went through a season of feeling desperate. We were having revival in our church. After the services, people would come and they would pray at the front of the church for sometimes an hour. But you know, in a couple of months after that time, the person in the greatest need was me. But you know, when I became desperate, God began to answer the prayers. Oh, friends, this widow was needy. And she poured out her need to Elisha, the man of God. Now, what's so remarkable about this portion of God's word is that the resources are actually found in the woman's house. Elisha asks a very simple but profound question to the widow lady. He says to her, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" Now, when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, you'll remember that Moses had a whole lot of excuses as to why he couldn't go and speak to Pharaoh. His final plea was, "I am slow of speech and tongue." He said, "Send someone else to do it." Try this microphone.
Coming in and out.
Yeah. But you know something, friends? Moses had overlooked what was in his house. He had forgotten that his brother Aaron was in his house. He was in his family. And God spoke to Moses. And he said to him, "What about your brother Aaron? I know he can speak well." God knew that what was in Moses' house was enough. Philip Yancey, in a book called The Bible Jesus Read, reminds us that Jesus was all that the people of Israel needed. Think about it for a moment. He, that is Jesus, was in their house. He was of the children of Israel. But you know something, friends? The people of Israel rejected Jesus. I wonder if we do the same. Do you know within your church, God has already placed everything He needs to accomplish His purposes? But my experience through the years tells me that we often spend too much time looking outside for what could somehow be brought in. I wonder if our lives are not like the widow's view of the oil. Do you remember what she said? "Your servant has nothing at all." And then, as a kind of afterthought, she says, "Except a little oil." Oh, my friends, the little oil is all that God needed. How about you? Do you miss the little things? I will say to my wife, "Where is such and such or so and so that I'm looking for?" And she'll say to me, "Did you look?" "Well, of course I looked. I couldn't find it." My wife will go and look. And you know what happens? She finds it. You ladies understand that, don't you? Oh, friends. God wants us to look for the small and the seemingly insignificant.
Chúa luôn luôn muốn mình nhìn đến những cái gì nhỏ, những cái gì mà không có nó quan trọng quá.
Those are the very things he has provided to meet our needs.
Vì đó là những điều mà Chúa đã ban cho mình để đáp ứng nhu cầu của mình.
To me, it's significant that Elisha did not actually go into the woman's house and look to see what was there.
Cho nên lý do đó mà ông Elisha ông không cần phải đến nhà của bà, ông không cần nhìn bà có cái gì.
No, he said to the woman, "What do you have in your house?"
Ông chỉ hỏi là có những gì, bà có những gì ở trong nhà.
And God looks at you and I today, and He says, "What do you have in your house that you might offer me?"
Giống như Chúa cũng hỏi mình như vậy đó, mình có cái gì trong nhà mình để mình dâng lên cho Chúa.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 describes the body of Christ like our human body.
Trong Corinthians đoạn 12 ví dụ cho mình hội thánh giống như một thân thể của Chúa.
God has arranged the parts so that what he needs is present.
Vì Chúa sắp đặt hết rồi, những bộ phận gì mà Chúa cần đã có sẵn trong cái thân thể đó.
Well, as God's resources are usually in the house, help is often no farther away than next door.
Cho nên những nhu cầu mình có thể đáp ứng được tại trong nhà mình đã có sẵn đây rồi.
I love Elisha's command to the woman.
Tôi rất là thích khi mà ông Elisha nói với người đàn bà.
He says to her, "Go around and ask your neighbors for their jars. Don't ask for just a few."
Ông nói với bà là đi ra hàng xóm mượn hết tất cả những chai hũ, chứ không phải một vài chai hũ mà tất cả hết chai hũ.
I don't know about you, but I think if I had been that woman, I would have thought to myself, the man of God is crazy.
Nhưng mà tôi nghĩ nếu mà tôi như bà, tôi nói là ông tiên tri này ông hơi điên rồi hay sao?
I just told him, I have nothing in my house except a little oil.
Tại vì bà đã nói với ông rồi, tôi có chút dầu thôi.
Now he's asking me to go around to my neighbors and beg them for their vessels, their jars.
Mà bây giờ ông lại sai tôi đi.
And friends, if that's not crazy enough, he says, now what you do when you get the jars is you go into your house, you shut the door, you start pouring the oil, and it's going to fill all the jars. That doesn't make any sense. Now, you and I, we've read the last part of the story when we read the Bible today, right? We know the result. The woman didn't know that. She'd never heard of this before. She'd never seen this miracle before.
Đối với chúng ta thì chúng ta đọc được câu chuyện và biết cái gì kết quả như thế nào. Nhưng mà bà này lúc đó bà chưa biết kết quả như thế nào.
Can you imagine when she went door to door and knocked?
Tưởng tượng là khi bà đi qua hàng xóm, bà gõ cửa.
And the people came to the door and she told them what the man of God told her to do. They must have thought, she's gone completely off the deep end. She's completely crazy. This would be like a victim of the flood in Louisiana going door to door to people who also have been flooded, asking them, can I have some pails? You know, like we have a pail over here. Can I have some of your pails? They're thinking to themselves, what good is a pail, one little pail, when your whole house has been destroyed by a flood? But I say to you this morning, friends, what God asked this woman to do through his servant Elisha is exactly what he asks you and I.
Cho nên trong lời Chúa sáng nay mình học là Chúa hỏi những điều gì cho bà đó, giống như Chúa đang hỏi mình vậy đó.
This is the way our God works.
Đây là cái cách mà Chúa làm việc trong đời sống của chúng ta.
Your little with God is always enough.
Mình có cái gì nhỏ cũng là đủ cho Chúa rồi.
The disciples of Jesus went out fishing several days after the resurrection.
Sau khi Chúa sống lại thì những người môn đồ của Chúa đi ra đánh cá.
They were discouraged, disheartened, and disappointed.
Họ rất là nản lòng, rất là thất vọng.
And to make matters worse, fishing is terrible.
Mà còn tệ hơn nữa là khi họ đi đánh cá, chẳng có cá gì hết.
They're out all night, they don't catch one fish.
Và họ hoàn toàn không có bắt được con cá nào hết.
And Jesus stands on the shore and he calls out to the disciples and he says, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?"
Rồi họ thấy Chúa đứng bên bờ, hỏi họ là có bắt được cá chưa?
With long faces, they say, "No."
Mặt rầu rĩ, họ nói là chưa bắt được con nào hết.
And do you remember what he told them to do? He says, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Hold on, Jesus, for a second. Are fish directionally challenged? What difference is what side of the boat going to make? We've been fishing for hours and we have caught zero. Nothing. My friends, like the widow, the disciples obey the words of Jesus. It didn't make any sense, but they obeyed the words of Jesus. Do you know what the Bible tells us? They caught so many fish, they could not haul them all into the boat. The nets began to break. The Bible tells us that these fish were large fish. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 21 that there were 153 fish.
153.
I imagine some of you like to fish. You know, how do you count 153 fish? They're slimy. They're jumping all over the place. But our God knows, and He cares about you. The Bible says He numbers the hairs on your head, even if there are less today than there were yesterday. Your little in combination with God is always enough. All it takes is obedience to what God says. And so that reminds us of a further step that needs to be taken. The woman had heard from God. She discovered that what was in her house was going to be enough. Now it was time to fish or cut bait. That'll be hard to translate. Now it was time to fish or cut bait.
Oh, okay.
And fish she did. And like the disciples, oh, what a catch. The boys, her sons, began to line the jars up. She closed the door, as the man of God said. She took the vial of oil and she began to pour it. The first jar was filled and the sons put it over to the side. The second jar, she began to fill. It was filled. The sons put it to the side. The third jar was filled and the sons put it to the side. They were watching a miracle of God taking place. What the man of God asked her to do in human terms made no sense at all. How easy it would have been for her to say, I can't do it. But no, she obeyed. She did what the man of God said, and God provided a miracle. Can you imagine what her sons must have felt like as they watched those jars being filled with the oil? They had never seen anything like it before. The parable of the mustard seed used by Jesus to answer those who were so surprised to see the kingdom of God sown with apparently so little power. a little oil.
Hoặc là một chút xíu dầu.
Fishing on the other side of the boat.
Hoặc là đánh cá phía bên tay mặt.
A group of disciples that were misfits and kind of a ragtag group.
Và một cái đám môn đồ mà rất là lam lũ, rất là thiếu thốn.
My friends, in man's terms, it makes no sense.
Thực sự không có lý, không có khó hiểu lắm, nhưng mà
it's a picture of the kingdom of God sown by Jesus. A small, insignificant beginning.
Lúc đầu rất là nhỏ nhoi.
But it becomes that which provides and that which meets the needs. It even becomes immense.
Và nó đã trở thành những điều gì to nhất, tốt nhất và đáp ứng đầy đủ nhu cầu nhất.
My brothers and sisters, I believe it's God's vision for your church. I believe it's God's vision for you as an individual, and I believe it's God's vision for your family. And the truth that comes from the story of the widow's oil is that God has already put into your life and into this church all that will take to bring His purposes to pass.
Có những điều rất là nhỏ Chúa để trong cuộc sống chúng ta, trong đời sống, trong hội thánh chúng ta để làm cái việc lớn cho Chúa.
The widow exercised faith. Faith built on God's word through his servant Elisha.
Người đàn bà này á, đi trong đức tin, bà tin theo những lời chỉ dạy của tiên tri của Chúa.
This was faith that was premised on what she already had.
Và đức tin của bà dựa theo những gì bà đang có.
God is calling us to exercise the same faith in our lives. Where is your need? Where's the need in your church? I ask you this morning, what's in your house? What helps can your neighbors provide? What step of faith is God calling you to take? So how is it that God provides for our needs? Well, friends, we find that His resources are located in what we already have. And we find His help is closer than what we might think. And His provision always requires you and I taking a step of faith. The widow did what Elisha had told her to do. And she went and she reported. She had honored God by obedience. And then, and only then, Elisha gave her the rest of the story. Up until this point, she had no idea how this was going to relate to paying the debt so that her sons would not have to be taken into slavery. She had no idea. And Elisha looked into her face. Perhaps he put his hand upon her shoulder. And he said to her these words. Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Hallelujah. One just brief little aside. Friends, one thing I learned in this story is that God gets the glory. And when He performed the miracle, He told the woman to close the door. God will not share His glory with you or anyone else. And when God's about to do His best work, You know what he does? He says, shut the door.
Khi mà Chúa làm điều gì tốt đẹp,
amen?
Chúa đóng cửa lại.
Yeah. And he gets the glory. Hallelujah. He gets the glory. So when you take a step of faith in your life, you need to bring a report to God. You know something? God already knows, but you still need to bring the report. And having done so, God will provide. So years ago, my wife and I were living on a street with some neighbors who had a very, very premature baby. We knew that they were not people who followed Jesus. We said, how can we show that we love them and we care for them and we're concerned about them? At that time, my wife and I were working for the Bible Society. We remembered that in our store, we sold white little Bibles for babies, usually for the baby dedications. And we would often engrave on the Bible the name of the baby. And so we thought to ourselves, that's what we'll do. We'll get a little white Bible, we'll engrave the name of the baby, we'll get some gifts for the other children, and we'll take them and give it to them. And it's exactly what we did. And these people, they were not followers of Jesus. But they welcomed us, and they were so grateful for the Bible. And the wife said, could she take the Bible and put it in the bassinet with the baby in the hospital? Now, we knew, friends, that having the Bible in the bassinet with the baby would not change the baby's life, but God's word never returns void. I share that story with you for this reason. The Bible was in our house. We worked for the Bible Society. All we needed to do was take a small step of faith and trust God to honor His word in the lives of our neighbors. The challenge I leave you this morning is this. What is the need in your life? What resources has God provided in your house to meet that need? Where else has He provided help for you? And now, what step of faith will you take? I want you to imagine the scene when the woman took those jars of oil down to the marketplace. She put them on the back, no doubt, of an ox cart. Down into the marketplace she would have gone. She would have gone to the stall where they bought oil. Everybody in the town knew that the creditor was coming to take her son as slaves. Can you imagine, friends, the tears that started to stream down her face as she gave that oil to the shopkeeper and he began to give her the money for it? I believe the tears continued to stream down her face as into her hand that money came, and she realized, I'll be able to pay the debts. And then the tears turned to joy, and she realized, not only will I be able to pay the debts, the money will be enough to provide for me and my sons the rest of our days. My God shall supply all your needs. What are your needs this morning? The provision of our God is always enough. Let's pray. So, our God and our Father, we pray this morning that as your provision is always enough, that, Lord, you'll speak to each one, showing them the need that they have as individuals, the need they have as families, and the need of this church. And then would you show them the little oil. And Lord, would you today begin to speak to each heart what you would say to them regarding their little oil. It's enough. Tell them, O Lord, show them, O Lord, the step of faith to take, and we'll give you the glory and the praise for what you will do in each life and, O Lord, in this church as we begin to move forward, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, thus says the Lord. Amen.